Hey guys, this is Joe, founder and host of StartupRadio.io. As you guys may already know, I've run this podcast full-time since January 2021. I'm very happy to announce that Anchor FM is my sponsor for this podcast. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free and it's easy to use, even for a newbie. They're creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today, I do have another guest, a founder, not necessarily of a startup, not necessarily of a scale-up we discussed before, and he would best classify his company as a fast-growing tech company. Admittedly, it's already 11 years old, but I would first like to welcome Jörg. Hey, how you doing?
Thank you, Joe, for inviting me. Pleasure to be here. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. It's also a pleasure for me. I've seen on LinkedIn, everybody would like to reach out to you. We'll link down here in the show notes the LinkedIn profile of you. I've seen you're headquartered in Boston. Do I reach you currently in Boston?
No, right now I'm in Germany, here in Waldorf. For one reason, I cannot travel to the US right now. This might change in November this year already. So looking forward to join US conferences and to support our US team there. Before Corona, I spent a lot of time in the US to ramp up the US business together with colleagues. Probably we come to that later. Let's see.
Yes. I've been looking at you and you have quite a career already behind you. You've been formerly with Deutsche Bank, with Duclos Holding. We may add for everybody who's not from Germany, which is something like 70 to 80% of each interview, that this is Douglas Beauty. So it's a store where you can go in, buy perfumes and everything else. You need to be pretty, including like shaving equipment for men and special face treatments for women and all that stuff. And then you have been with SAP, the software company, actually also coincidentally headquartered in Waldorf. We may also add for the people that it's a little bit more in the southwest of Germany, and the next larger city is Heidelberg or Mannheim. Okay, you have been there at SAP as senior vice president and head of global treasury at SAP, and then in 2010 there was just a break. You started TIS, which is a company we're talking about right now, Treasury Intelligence Solutions. Can you tell us how this happened?
Yeah, I spent 8 years with SAP in SAP's finance board area, responsible for all, together with the team, responsible for all these broad treasury activities. Treasury is like a Decathlon, probably we'll come to that later as well. So responsibility for capital market transactions, private placements and bonds, responsible for risk management, including FX and interest rate risk, some special projects like working capital management or cash collection. And last but not least, I was responsible for outbound payment processes as well. And this is where I saw certain challenges, and I had that a problem. And the problem in a nutshell inefficient processes, lack of visibility and control, a very high risk. And there was a problem and there was no solution at that time. So Errol Bozak, and he's the co-founder and our chief product officer, Errol Bozak and myself, we thought it's a good idea to leverage cloud technology and to fix those problems. So in a nutshell, the problems which we solve today for our clients, these were my problems in my former life. I met Errol during an executive MBA program, which was sponsored by SAP. Obviously, in 2010, when we founded TRS, this happened in close alignment with SAP. My boss, I was a direct report to SAP's group CFO. He liked the idea, and he acted as a sponsor. So the seed money was provided by SAP when we were able to attract venture capital a few months later after foundation already. We converted this loan into an exit participation. So SAP does not have any voting rights. We are a speedboat from that perspective.
I like your analogies of boats. When we talked about before, considering the growth of TIS, would you still consider it a speedboat, but a large one?
Yeah, we are successful. We are established in the market. Nevertheless, this is still a fast-growing company. Goal is 3x in the last 3 years, top line. So this is fast-growing. You still, when you are part of our team, sitting in that speedboat, you still feel the waves, right? And you still, as an employee, you still have the chance to, show impact or to influence speed and direction of our speedboat. And this is a completely different picture compared to whatever a cruise ship, right? Large cruise ship where you work in the 10th deck and you have very limited impact. You don't even feel the waves anymore. This feels different, right? And we attract new colleagues, talents, willing to join us. By the way, it's great fun to go fast together with the team.
I see. Before we jump straight into TIS, in one interview you once said, if you would have not founded TIS, you would have likely become the CFO and then the CEO of a company. But you did not say which one. Are you speculating about SAP here?
Okay, I became a CEO of TIS.
Diplomatically circumvented the answer.
SAP is a great company and offers also great career development opportunities. By the way, I met Errol Bozak, our co-founder, during an executive MBA, which we did together. And this is where the idea was born. And this is also where we have created the business plan for this business here. Yeah. But I wanted to create something new from scratch. I wanted to have an impact, right? I wanted to, together with Errol, I wanted to create a very successful big company. I wanted to enter a new learning curve. The previous learning curve was kind of flattening out. And we had this idea. And we wanted to show that this really works, right? Cloud technology at that stage, 10 years, 11 years ago, was still in the early stage, right? And this was not mainstream. It's completely different now. No investor is willing to invest in on-premise. No customer wants to deploy software on-premise. Why? Because this is not state of the art anymore. Cloud is standard. But once again, when we started and we tried to sell this cloud solution to clients, especially mm-hmm. finance teams and the decision makers in finance teams, they are risk averse. So this is not easy. Different story, and there is this chicken and egg problem. Nobody wants to be first, right? Problem is when you have a platform and you don't have customers, then you don't find banks which you connect to, which are willing to connect to that platform. Good news here, the vision is reality now. Cloud is standard, and this makes us proud. Spoke to a customer yesterday. He said, well, TIS in payments is something like Reuters and Bloomberg. We have a good reputation. We have earned trust of our customers over the last 10 years. Let's say we have earned this trust in jobs, and we are very careful because you can lose this trust in bottles.
We're already talking about TIS here, but first I want to set the stage a little bit because I didn't at first really realize what you guys are doing, some payments, but basically you help companies take care of outbound payments, meaning the invoices a company has to pay. You've been part of FT 100, your fastest growing companies in 2021. And in total, I found something like you raised $41 million from several investors. And your last series, I do believe it's a series D, was in May 2020. And I also found a very impressive list of clients, including Adecco Group, Bertelsmann, Hugo Boss, Fresenius, Fugro, Lanxess, Kaizen Foods, Manpower Group, Osram, and Kiagen. But I don't think they've been your first customer. How did you get your first customer? How did you get started and get all those great clients?
Yeah, you need to this is really difficult. You need to identify early adopters. You need to find somebody who has this problem. This was not the biggest challenge because I had a network in that treasury community already. And then we were able to convince the first customer, or one of the first customers was Fujitsu, based in Munich. And it's getting easier and easier when you have customers as evangelists on stage, right? You need references. B2B software sales, this is about reference selling. There is only one chance to make a good first impression. There is only you need to deliver what you promise, then you earn trust, and then you have this upward spiral with happy customers. And yes, you mentioned a few customer names in Europe and in the US, successfully established above 200 clients. And very important, these clients are happy customers. How do I know? Because I just recently completed 70 pulse check calls with our clients, 30 minutes each, where I carefully listen to clients. Yeah, by the way, clients, they have really good ideas. They help you to innovate, and this is part of our cloud DNA. Yeah, to collaborate with clients, we work in sprints. So when clients have good ideas, we can deliver within 4 weeks already these new features. If we give them the adequate priority, and this makes customers happy because they are part of a community. This is a community effect. So long story short, 8.7 on a scale between 0 and 10. This is the net promoter score or the happiness score coming out of these 70 pulse check calls. And once again, important. Why? Because they have success stories available on our website and they are open for reference calls.
Mm-hmm. You have started TIS very soon, very early, and soon you raised venture capital, as you said. Do you think at this time it was very hard to come by venture capital? Is it better right now? And what is your take on venture capital at all?
I think venture capital for a B2B cloud software, cloud platform, this is the only option. Triple F funding, right? Family, fools, friends. This is not an option. Ramping up a cloud platform is pretty expensive. You need to invest. And the ability to attract venture capital is a proof point for your business, for your team, and for your business plan and for your idea. So triple F funding is simply low volume, wrong signal to the market, venture capital funding. This is a proof of concept. This allows you to attract talents and to hire those talents early. Yeah, this allows you to grow the company. This allows you to invest in innovation into your product, build a scalable business, and allows you to grow fast. And last but not least, those venture capitalists which we have on board, Target Partners in Munich, they were first Bertolt von Freiberg. He provided seed money, and he saw the potential of TRS very early. Then we added Sobito, 83 North, and as you said already in March 2020 during Corona crisis, successful funding round with Aquiline. And they are strong partners, and they also have certain experience, and definitely they do have a great network which you can leverage. So this was a good decision to attract venture capital early. You don't want to optimize your shareholdings in percentage of the company. The idea is to maximize the chance of success, and that's what we did.
That is a great statement. You don't want to optimize in terms of your shareholder percentage, but in terms of success. That is a great statement. You once spoke in an interview about something like 70% year-on-year growth. Does this still hold true?
This is true right now, especially for the US. Growth rates there for US operations are above 200%. So this is good. And the company overall is growing fast. As I said already, 3x for the next 3 years. That's our plan from a top line perspective. And the growth should happen in Europe and in the US through field sales and also through partner engagement, partner channels.
What are partner channels for you?
Yeah, there's one good example. By the way, when you are successful in the market, when you have good clients, this is a good proof point. And then suddenly you are attractive for partners. So the problem is, back to your question, you know, in founders, they need to do the hard work first, create some momentum, deliver some proof points, and then suddenly you are attractive for partners. And a good example, very successful partnership was established with Deutsche Bank. This is not only about selling our fraud prevention solution together. This is also about innovation. Obviously, Deutsche Bank, these experts, they have a good, very excellent track record or expertise in fraud protection. And this is where we have created a win-win situation. This is a strategic partnership where we approach clients with, I would say, game-changing a new product where we leverage not artificial intelligence in the first step, but where we leverage customer intelligence. Think about something like a swarm intelligence or a neighborhood watch system, where we allow customers to collaborate on our platform. Reduce the fraud risk for the overall group. And obviously, the more participants you have in that network, the more data you have in that network, the more valuable it is. And this is what we see already. The new product PE community screening, the pipeline right now, sales pipe is simply exploding. Yeah? Why is this? By the way, it comes back to my point, which I made a few minutes ago, customer-driven innovation. This was an idea brought to us in one of our customer council sessions where we do some brainstorming with our customers, and we carefully listened to those clients and delivered what they wanted to have. And this is the PE community screening, successful product, but only one product on our platform.
And talking a little bit about you again, I realized when I was looking through your profile, your position in TIS itself has changed. You basically gave up the CEO position. Have you been bored of it? Too much work? You want to focus on something else?
Yeah, this is sooner or later, you need to make a decision. A two-man founder band does not scale, right? That's clear. And by the way, there is this famous founder's dilemma. Very nice article, Harvard Business Review, Founder's Dilemma. And according to that, also research, you need to make a decision at a certain stage. Do you want to become rich or do you want to continue to be a king? There are only these two options according to this article. There's a third option, but this is a longer story. Yes, and Errol Bozak and myself, we made a decision to ask Eric Massing to become a CEO. And why is this? Well, because we want to grow fast. We want to be successful. And Eric did that journey two times already. So there is no time to lose. And by the way, I met Eric Massing many years ago. And we started to collaborate. First, he joined as a kind of contractor. And I asked him to support for our US expansion. Yeah, it's pretty much the same story here. When I spent a lot of time in the US and we ramped up this US business from scratch. There was nothing, right? No customers, nothing. And we had this chicken and egg problem, which we had 10 years before in Europe. We had it in the US again. Here in such a scenario, it's good to have somebody with you who did that before. And he did a US expansion for his own software company, which he founded. So this allowed us to take some shortcuts and to ramp up our US business. This was a very good proof point. Not only to leverage his expertise, but also to find out that there is a cultural fit. That's the reason why we asked him to become the CEO. Yeah, simply because, yeah, probably I have the know-how or expertise as well, but he has the experience. Yeah, and once again, there is no time to lose. We need to grow fast. There is, if we don't grow fast, there are very high costs of opportunity. The addressable market, which we have in front of us, is huge. So we need to be fast. And that's the reason why we, by the way, also hired additional leadership in the US. We hired Chris Calhoun. He's our CEO Americas. As I said already, very successful growing our US business.
Huh. Very cool. So basically, you're an entrepreneur and now you're taking a step back. That is usually the time you dispense some advice to people like our audience who are aspiring entrepreneurs or already entrepreneurs pretty early stage. What would be some pieces of advice you would give to them?
Yeah, I covered the venture capital topic already, right? But I covered only the why. So maybe some lessons learned on the venture capital side for early stage companies or for founders. Be careful with overconfidence. Yeah, this is normal, probably, when you are enthusiastic in the early days, that you are overconfident, and VCs, they know this. So probably you will find out that this takes twice as long and will cost you twice as much as in your initial business plan. So this is one thing. Start early with contacting venture capital. Yeah, this is a proof of concept for your business. You will learn a lot while talking to investors. Create a relationship with these investors. Make sure, very important, right? This is a longer term journey. There needs to be a cultural fit. And yes, there is always a kind of information asymmetry, right, between VCs and founders. Be careful here. Make sure that you have a good lawyer. Be prepared for tough negotiations. Problem is, they can wait. You can't wait because you need the money sooner or later. Otherwise, you cannot grow. So once again, also be careful, very careful with your cash burn, and start these discussions and negotiations early. And last but not least, it's not only about valuation, right? It's about valuation and documentation. This is very documentation.
Yeah. What should you document?
Liquidation preferences, only one example.
Yeah, you should definitely document everything you've agreed upon in this room. When you finally seal the deal, you can only prove what's in the contract.
Definitely. And that's the reason why you need good lawyers and good advice. There is one nice, very good website, venturedeals.com. This is something you could use. But once again, ask experts. By the way, create a market for your company shares. Collect 2-3 term sheets. If you should have any problems to connect 2 or 3 term sheets, then probably there's something wrong with your equity story.
I've actually talked to a lot of startups, and most memorable was the CEO of Penta at this time. And he said only the 67th investor actually invested. They made 66 pitches without any success. So you have to be at it and adjust.
No, we did a few pitches only and were successful pretty fast. So this went very well. And then a second piece of advice, sales know-how and sales leadership, right? So founders, they need to do the hard work. In the beginning is founder-driven sales. This is key to success. You will learn a lot, but you need to do the hard work and ask sales experts for help, but be careful. Sometimes you get this advice from venture capitalists, and I think this is a wrong advice, that CEOs early stage should hire someone bigger than required pretty early, yeah. And their argument is something like, well, think about the 3 to 5 years and how you will be a large company. And this is a bad advice, right? Because when you hire these very expensive sales leaders too early and your processes are not mature enough and you don't have a critical mass of momentum on your platform and referenceable customers and customer success stories, then it doesn't make any sense to hire sales leadership early in the process. Once again, as a founder, you need to do the hard work first.
Good advice. I'll write it down. I'll condense it in the blog post accommodating our podcast here. And one final question, because we're running almost at 30 minutes recording time. In one interview, you got asked whom you would like to meet for a beer. And you said Hasso Plattner, the longtime CEO and co-founder of SAP. Did you manage to do that by now?
Not yet, but I didn't ask him so far. Yeah, this is a great person, very successful. Yeah, needless to say.
Yes, I totally would like to have him in an interview one day. your agenda is having a beer with him. I would like to interview him. Jörg, it was such a pleasure talking to you. I know your time is very valuable, so thank you very much, even though I think we would have a few more hours we could cover in this interview.
Was a great pleasure. Thank you once again for inviting me.
Totally my pleasure. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Take care, Joe. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.